look at the third part of eternal security for the Christian, all right, for a person who has genuinely repented from their sin, placed faith in Christ. Okay, and it's an important lesson, I believe, so as to realize that our God is still a gracious God. But at the same time, today we're going to be looking at what happens to those who are saved, but they have not been walking with God. All right, so what we're going to do is we have a word of prayer, and after that we'll do our memory verse. Okay, this is quite, I think we more or less know what the memory verse is. But let's pray first, and after we'll try. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, today as we come to you, we know that it's all of your grace, Lord, that we're here. The fact that we're alive, the fact that we're healthy, the fact that we can walk, the fact that we can eat. Lord, these are the small blessings that sometimes we miss. Thank you for our families. We thank you for people who love and care for us. Thank you for the brethren who have been faithful despite the circumstances. I pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to fill us today as we seek to understand your word in this area. We pray that your word will be our anchor. Your word will teach us, Lord, what it means, Father, to be a Christian, and also how do we help someone else. Well, thank you for what you're going to do. Bring the brethren quickly in. I know sometimes transportation can be difficult, but I pray you grant them the grace, Lord. You know, we are praying for them. Father, come quickly for those who are not here, who are sick. I pray, Lord, or overseas, I pray for their safety. I pray, Father, for you to keep them and bring them quickly back. For those who are sick, raise them up. Lord, for those who have some delays in their family timetables and all that, I pray you help them, Lord, to work it out so that they can be here. Hear your word. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless this session. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. Okay, John chapter 10, verse 27 to 28. Anyone would like to try? Shall we just say together John chapter 10, verse 27 to 28? Ready? One, two, go. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall my man pluck them out of my hand. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Ready? One, two, go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Amen. So please remember these verses. These are verses of eternal security for us as Christians. Okay? Okay? So today we're going to go on to the whole area of eternal security. Just to introduce and recap ourselves what we have learned. Over the last 2 weeks, we talked about repentance from sin plus faith in Christ equals genuine salvation. Okay, those are the verses. You can remember them. Go through them, revise them. Next week's a quiz. Okay, just give you a little bit of forward looking. Okay, it leads to genuine salvation. Okay, our eternal security rests upon the two things: the finished work of Christ. The reason why we are confident we are saved is because of what Jesus has done, and Jesus' work is complete. Okay, when the phrase "it is finished" was said on the cross, right? Remember, it is finished. When Jesus said it is finished and he gave up the ghost, it means that the entire debt of man's sin has been paid for. Okay, there's nothing outstanding. No one can bring anything. Oh, hey, forget this outstanding invoice. No, everything is paid for, our sin. So we thank God for that. And we put our faith in that. Okay, and also the promise of Christ. And Christ says, if we are saved, we're forever saved. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Okay? Another way my pastor always teach us in Australia was God give us everlasting life, right? Right? How long is everlasting? How long is everlasting? Everlasting means it continues without end. God give us everlasting life. Okay? Journey in repentance, we talk about some people who claim to be Christians, but yet their life, how do you decide that? So we highlighted that genuine salvation requires specifically following repentance from sin. Okay? There are some people who do not believe that, and that's a dangerous thing. All right? Jesus said very clearly, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Unless you turn away from your old ways and sin, you will likewise perish. Okay? Repentance from sin, the new birth that leads to changes in our lives. And this is something that a lot of Christianity feels is very controversial. May I say that in the early 1900s and the old 1800s backwards, there are three criteria for baptism, right? What are the three criteria for baptism? We before a person can be baptized, what are the three things that you need? It's all right? Must be saved, okay? Then? Huh? Must be saved, what else? The proper candidate means proper salvation. Okay, what else? Okay, proper authority, then proper method, okay? Did you know that the old-time Baptists, there are four criteria? First is salvation. Second is immersion. Third is authority. Fourth is Christian character to back up your salvation. And it's interesting, if you look at Hiscox, which is the principles and practices of Baptist churches, they actually included that. But over the years, people have removed that. I believe there was a lack of emphasis on repentance, that you don't have to be saved, because there's a danger of slipping in this thing called lordship salvation, where people believe that if you are not following at all, you are definitely not saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. After this, we'll go through that, okay? But you know, new birth leads to new life. I have four children. I can tell you, four of them, they look like me, but some of their ways and habits don't follow me. And in fact, I have to learn from them. Because we're all different. We're all individuals. Okay? So, a new birth in Christ leads to changes in our life, and it has to happen. It has to happen because you're a new person. New person have new ambitions, have new direction in life. And for a Christian, the direction in life is to follow Christ. It's to glorify Christ. Okay? So, new birth that leads to changes in our life, a hearing of God's voice, meaning that when you hear the preaching, when you read the Bible, it convicts your heart and you make decisions as a result of hearing the Word of God. And that's important. You make decisions as a result of hearing the Word of God. Okay? And then having holy works in our lives. Okay? The individual will want to live a holy life after that, because the direction has changed. Okay? So in sanctification, it's away from sin and towards Christ. As a Christian, our job is to move away from sin and move closer towards Christ. That is the direction for a believer. It cannot be that a believer, after he got saved, the next day they still continue and say, it can't be, because your direction has changed. Okay? The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, As he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Okay, be set apart, because God is a set apart God. Okay, what happens to a genuine believer when he is disobedient to God? Okay, we all know that genuine salvation will lead to change. Okay, it has to lead to change. Okay, it could be a lifetime of change. There are some people who, there are some people who have gone through maybe a whole life of maybe drugs and all that. So they have to suffer the effects of those sins. But you know, after they get saved, their life and their attitude actually changes. Okay? It actually changes. They may struggle with it, but you know, there's a joy in their hearts. They say, yeah, I may be having this. There was one doctor, I think you all may have heard. He's about 40 plus years old. And he lived a high life, meaning that he has many houses, he has many cars, and he sometimes attend church and all that, but he pushed God out. When he found out he had stage 4 cancer, all he repented of all the luxuries he had. He's still quite rich, okay, but he passed away already. He said this, you know, don't waste your life on things on this earth. It's temporal. You know, it's sad, because it took a stage 4 cancer to wake him up to the reality. Actually, he didn't have to. I know another doctor friend. He's not so much a friend, but I know he's actually a very famous skin doctor. Very rich. People come from Indonesia, see him. One consultation is 1,005. One consultation is 1,005. But you know what? He supports the church. He gives. He's a humble man. I went to his house to see his son, who has some learning problems. I'm not kidding you, he had 5 maids, 2 chauffeurs, 1 gardener. Okay, he's when I saw the child in his child's room, as big as a 2 or 3 room flat. Just one room. But you know what? God blessed him. Because why? He made it a point to always support the work of God. He's a Baptist. Okay? He's a Baptist. But he made a point to support God's work with his finances. And he gives, and he gives, and he gives. Because as the money comes in, he goes. And God blesses him as well. Okay? So he honors the Lord in that situation. So the question is often asked, can a Christian be really saved and then walk away from God and do not even look like a Christian? No, the answer is yes. The Bible answer is yes. But there are certain things though the Christian loses. And this is very serious. If you are a Christian and we don't think this is important, then we have to really, really look at that, okay? Now, let's look at a few things which a believer loses when he's disobedient to God. Number one, the sinning believer is out of fellowship with the Lord and God's people. Let's turn to 1 John 1, verse 3 and 7. Okay? The verses I want us to turn so that we can get familiar with the Bible. We are familiar with the Bible, I'm sure. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. Just focus on... Okay, maybe I'll just read the whole thing you hear. Okay, 1 John 1, verse 3 to 7. The Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So this is an introduction. Say, if you, what the apostles have heard, he told to us so that we can have fellowship with God. Okay? In verse 5, "This then is the message which you have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." The first thing John teaches these people is that God has no sin. He's light. In verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with God, him, and walk in darkness, we are lying and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." A Christian who claims to be saved and believes he's saved, and maybe in the sight of God he's saved, I don't know. See, there are two parts to this. If you say you're saved, I have no right to challenge that. It's your relationship with God. Okay? But if we continue in sin, you lose fellowship with God and you lose fellowship with God's people. That's why people who don't walk with God don't like to come to church. I say again, people who don't walk with God don't like to come to church, because the moment they come to church, the word of God will convict their heart to get right with God. And that's a very important truth. Okay? So John was writing to instruct the believers how to maintain the fellowship with Christ. We do this by walking in the light rather than in darkness. So this walking in darkness means to walk in disobedience to God's word. Walking in obedience means knowing what the word of God says and doing it. If we walk in darkness, it means we know God's word, but we don't want to do it. We know God's word, but we don't want to do it. You're walking in darkness, okay? And therefore, coming to church, being with Christians is I don't like this. Because why? You're constantly convicted by your sin. You lose fellowship, okay? You lose fellowship. Thus, a sinning Christian is not in fellowship with Christ. He knows Christ as Lord and Savior, but he's not walking in fellowship with Christ. His relationship with God is not broken, but the intimacy fellowship is broken. It's just like when you, as brothers and sisters, maybe you have something against one another. You're still brothers and sisters. But you cannot tahan that person. You keep shouting at the person, you keep scolding that person. But you know what? You still have that brother and sister relationship. Does it make sense? Okay? But you know, the sinning Christian is out of fellowship with the Lord and his people. Now, this is a serious loss. Let me just read this. "To live out of fellowship with Christ means I do not have his wisdom and power and blessing. Every time I make a major decision in my life, when I'm out of fellowship with God, those decisions will invariably be wrong and will take me further out of God's will." You know what I mean? It means if I'm out of fellowship with God as a Christian, everything I do, every decision I make will actually take me further and further and further away from God. And the decision I make will always be wrong. Because I don't have God's wisdom anymore. Every decision regarding career, regarding future, regarding whatever you want to do, the future. future will be wrong. Because all we have is the wisdom of man. Okay? So number one, the sinning believer is out of fellowship with the Lord and his people. Number two, the sinning believer grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein ye are sealed, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The word grieve means to make the Holy Spirit sad in your life. And as a result, stop the Holy Spirit's working in your life. The word grieving means when the Holy Spirit tells us, don't do that, that's wrong, give it up, you say no. The Holy Spirit grieves because he knows that if you continue to do that sin, it will always lead to death, even as a Christian. If a Christian smokes and drinks, and the Holy Spirit says, look, you're not supposed to do that. So I don't care. I want to continue smoking and drink. What happens? You may get lung cancer. You may get cirrhosis of the liver. It will hurt you. Okay? So, the sinning believer grieves the Holy Spirit of God. He actually stops. God cannot work anymore in your life. Just kind of like a parent telling a child, please do that. Or please don't do that. I don't care what I want to do. And one of these days, you get a phone call from the police. The parent is sad, but the parent can't do anything else with the child. Why? The child doesn't want to listen. In the same way with our relationship with Heavenly Father, when we sin and choose not to follow God, we actually grieve him. Okay? It means that the Holy Spirit also, being a comforter, a strength, and a guide, and a teacher, stops. When the Holy Spirit grieves, I no longer have his blessing. I do not grow spiritually. I don't have spiritual power. I lose enlightenment. I lose the ability to be wise. You know, in Singapore, I was going to the Philippines was quite interesting, and seeing certain Christians in different parts of the world. I realized this in Singapore, there are a lot of Christians who still say that God bless me, but their life is totally out of sync with God. And personally, as pastor, I've come to this conclusion. Okay, this is my opinion. It is absolute self-deception for a Christian to think that God will still hear his prayer and that he can still serve God when he's living in known sin. My opinion is based on Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Any Christian who claims that God still hears his prayer when he's living in sin is deceiving himself, because God's word said, no, I'm not going to hear you. Now, I say that compassionately because what God is saying is, look, how can I bless you when you continue in that wrong? Oh, I can't. Because if you keep doing that, you'll hurt yourself in the end. You know? Does that make sense? We need to hear God's heart and voice in this verse, where it says, if you continue to live in that sin, I cannot bless you, not because I don't want to, because I can't. If I bless you, I'm spoiling you. For you to think that you can continue in your sin, okay? So, in self-deception, we need to be careful. So, the singing believer grieves the Holy Spirit of God, all right? But you know what? I want to encourage you. The sinning believer, no, it's not the new, it's the sinning believer, right? Sorry, just the sinning believer is helped by the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, I hope this encouraged you. Some people, it's all the negative things, but you know, the Bible does have good things even for those who are sinning against him. But listen to the verse carefully. 1 John chapter 1, let's turn there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. This is when we are actually in sin. What Jesus does for us. Let's read together, right? I want us all to focus on the words of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. That's in the New Testament towards the end. There are four Johns, the Gospel of John, then got John 1, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, okay? We're in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Ready? 1, 2, begin. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin,
we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Okay, so John writes to the people and said, my little children, I'm writing to you so that you don't sin. What? The apostles of old says, look, I'm writing these things so that you will not sin. You won't fall into sin. But, knowing our human nature, the Bible says, and if any man sin, we have a lawyer. And the word advocate means a lawyer, someone who speaks on our behalf. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me explain this. Let's say Jonathan, okay? No, here. Let's say Jonathan, you go to a bookshop, you take something. Okay, don't say here, me lah. Okay, I go to the bookshop, I go and take something. And then now cannot run away. Singapore, everywhere is all CCTV. Right? CCTV. Then I try to run away. Then the manager come. Excuse me, uncle. Wait. He call me uncle because he's younger than me. I think you took something. No? Okay, so let's say he found the thing in my hand. I got no money to pay for the arable. Let's say lah. Okay? Then, okay, you have a choice. Either you pay for it or I call the police. So I stand there. I got no money. Then just stand. He didn't come and heard. Uncle Johnny, don't have money to pay, no. Say, hey, manager, wait, how much the rubber? $10. Very expensive rubber. $10. I pay for him. So what happens? Gideon became my advocate. That means I will take care of that. I will pay you for it. You can let him go. Does that make sense? You know that's what Jesus does for us? When I sin against God as a Christian, you know what Jesus does for us? God the Father has to judge our sin, but Jesus comes in and says, Father, I've already paid for it at the cross. Please forgive him. That's what it means in this passage. Does it make sense? Can you see that even in sin, Jesus still is willing to stand up for you? All right? And that's an encouragement, I hope, to us. In 1 John 2 and verse number 1, when we sin, God does not abandon us. You can run away as far from God. God is not going to leave you. We have a lawyer, an advocate, a helper. He does not cease to be my savior when I sin as a Christian. Do you know how loving that is? That no matter how much wrong we did, Jesus will still not leave us. That should actually prompt us to say, hey, if that's the case, how can someone love me so much? Even though when I'm doing wrong, he doesn't leave me. Jesus is always there, praying for me, caring for me, and seeking to restore me. You know, when Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus didn't leave him, did he? In fact, after he rose from the dead, he went to seek Thomas, who doubted him. He went to seek James, his own brother, in 1 Corinthians 15, and he went to look out for Peter and restored him and gave him a ministry. So, the sinning believer is still helped. If we are in sin, just remember, Jesus still loves you. But he wants you to get rid of that sin because it's going to hurt you, okay? Next one, the believer is chastened by the Father. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, okay? Please stop me if there's any questions. This is what a believer in Christ will experience if he's walking away from God, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. Let me just read, okay? And ye have forgotten the exaltation. I hope you're all there. Please turn there. This is an important passage for a Christian. Okay? And ye have forgotten the exaltation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. Who God loves, he will chasten, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. God will not allow you to continue in sin without scourging you. He will not. I remember this illustration. There was an evangelist who shared. There was one time he went to a church to preach. And when he went to church to preach, the pastor said, hey, you need to go and visit this deacon. He was formerly a deacon of the church, but he hasn't been in church for more than 5 years. And so this pastor was still concerned for him. So the evangelist and the pastor went to this deacon, former deacon. He went to his workplace. So his workplace and say, hey, come on, we need to talk to you, you know. Come in. We'll give you buy you some drinks and all that so that we can talk. Say, no, we just talk outside. So they went out and talked. And I said, how are you, you know. And you know, this former deacon said, no, I'm not right with God. I need to come back to God and all that kind of thing and all that. And after a while, the evangelist was sharing that as he was talking with the deacon, the pastor was talking to the deacon for a while, the evangelist actually asked him, how is life treating you? How are you, are you enjoying yourself right now? The deacon actually said, yeah, I'm fine, you know, I really enjoy my life right now. You know, I'm making so much money that I don't know what to do with. You know, you see the, okay, they call it a Cadillac in the U.S., but you see that BMW? I just bought it last week, cash. You know, BMW, you know BMW? You see that motorcycle, really big one, Harvey Davidson type, you know? That's about last week cash. I got so much money. I'm just reeking in money, you know? And you know, this hotel is not, the hotel is not a hotel, it's a bar. He owns it, okay? And he has a bookshop across the road. You know, see that bookshop? I got so much, a bookshop, it's an adult bookshop, okay? And it was given to him by the mafia, according to this evangelist. I got so much money, and I'm just living it up, man. I'm having a good time. The evangelist looked at him. Upon the authority of God's word, you are not saved. Because God is not going to allow you to continue in this kind of wickedness for 7 years and not do anything to you. Well, that's scary. When I heard that as a Christian, you know, I was about maybe 10-year-old Christian. You know, the Bible says God does not let his children sin without consequences. He will spank them. There's a sequence of spanking. One, God convicts your heart. God tells you in your heart, you are wrong. He tells you in your heart that you are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. He convicts you. But you know what? If it doesn't work, God turns up the heat by actually doing things in the environment. There may be consequences of sin. Okay? There was one person who I know, despite parents said, don't buy the motorbike, you know. He just said he wanted to, but you know, he got an accident, broke his leg, and he realized, actually, I should listen to my parents. So after that, in hospital, he apologized to his parents. God was chastising him. Okay, there was another in NBC, you all don't know him, it's 20 over years ago, you don't even know his family right now. You know, he served God, he left God, he met an accident, he had head injury right now, he's probably about 60s, he lived with head injury for over 30 years. And that was a chastisement of God in his life. Okay? You know, if that doesn't work, you know what God says? I'm going to take you home. I will take you home. Chastisement from God is a reality. Let's read on in Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 7 says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? Which father will not discipline his children? I'm speaking this in a modern Singaporean context, that some parents don't spank their children, don't discipline them. If you're a Christian, that's, I believe, is a sin. If you don't discipline your children, it shows you don't love your children. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Because God says, which son does a father have that don't discipline the son? That's the ideal situation where God's, even as earthly parents, we will discipline our sons. What more God? God will discipline them. But look at verse 8. But if you are without chastisement, if you don't experience chastisement, whereof all are part of you, then are ye illegitimate. The Bible here is bastard. Sorry, I'm not swearing. The word bastard is there. It is an old word that means you are not born. You are born out of wedlock. In other words, you don't know who your father is. In other words, you're not saved. If we as a Christian can continue in sin and there's no chastisement and things, everything is fine and you are excelling in your career and all that, you know, the Bible is very clear on that. You know, as Christians, we need to realize, and it is not to bind us, it is to help us. I hope you understand that. Okay? Now, the parallel illustration is this. You know seat belts? I share this, but I hate the seat belts. time in Australia, I hate seatbelt because when I iron my clothing, the seatbelt goes across, I crease the clothing. I hate it. You know what? We will never understand the relevance of seatbelt until we reach an accident. A seatbelt has been known to save lives. I think, I'm not too sure the percentage, but quite a high percentage. People involved in accidents have testified it was a seatbelt that saved them. Okay? We will never understand the relevance of seatbelt until an accident comes. You'll never understand the relevance of God's word until you face a crisis. Okay? Until you face a crisis. Okay? So, the sinning believer is chastised by the Father. God does not let his children sin without consequences. He spanks them. Okay? Some of them in the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 to 30, actually said some Christian in the church of Corinth actually was killed by God. Paul said, let's turn there, right? Unless you think I'm making it up. Let's turn there. Let me just read to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, let me just read. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now what does that mean? In the Corinthian church, they have this situation whereby some of the richer Christians, were not being caring and loving to the poorer ones, okay? And so they come together to eat. And say, the rich people are saying, why should we buy all this food and let the poor believers eat? We should be eating ourselves. So whenever they have a feast in church, let's say it's at 6 p.m., the rich people come at 5 p.m. They bring their food, they eat first. And Paul was actually saying, no, what kind of thinking are you having? This is wrong, okay? And if you come to the Lord's Supper with that kind of divisive, not loving to your brethren kind of attitude, then you're wrong. And if you think you can partake of the Lord's Supper when you hate your brother, that's wrong. And God actually says that if you come there with that kind of attitude and want to take the Lord's Supper, then you better examine yourself. Then in verse 30, look at that. The Bible says, for this reason, because these people don't think it's wrong, many are weak and sickly among you. God struck some with sickness, and many sleep. The word sleep is not dose of. It's God actually killed them. Sleep means to sleep. And as a Christian, we don't die, we sleep. Amen? We sleep and then we wake up in the presence of God. Okay? So, the sinning believer is chastened by the Heavenly Father. Okay? Because he has to. God chastens. Whenever God actually disciplines, is it because he loves us? And that's why God says we have to endure that. Have to endure that. Okay? In the next one, the sinning believer reaps corruption. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. As a believer, we need to wake up to this reality. Paul is talking to Christians. Okay? Verse 7, the Bible says, be not deceived, don't deceive yourself. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth through the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. The Bible says, don't deceive yourself. God is not going to be mocked. If you sow unto sin, you will reap the consequences of sin. Many modern-day believers think they can play with sin and get away with it. No. If you play with a cobra, one day you are going to get struck by the cobra. Steve Irwin, right? A man who fights alligators. Fights crocodiles, Steve Irwin. Okay, he fights all kinds of different dangerous animals. Guess what? One time he decided to fight a stingray, thinking that he can. And a stingray struck his heart. He died. If you play with cobras, you will be bitten. If you put fire in your bosom, you will get burnt. Christians, don't play with sin because you will suffer the consequences. You will suffer the consequences. You know. As a pastor, I have seen so many people playing with sin. And the consequences sometimes doesn't hurt them only, it hurts those people closest, okay? So, children, don't break your parents' heart by playing with sin. Because if you play too much with sin, you can break your parents' heart and those people around you. Okay? Can? Yeah? Just pay attention, alright? Just for a few more minutes. the sinning believer reaps corruption. There is a price to pay for sin in this present world. Just because we are saved does not mean that we will not escape. There's this law called the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping means that if you work hard, you will get what you want. You know, even non-believers can benefit from that. If they work hard, they're going to get a lot of money. Some non-believers work very hard, so they get a lot of money. It's a law of sowing and reaping. You put in your effort, you get what you put in. The law of sowing and reaping. Okay? Many believers have paid a terrible price over worldly things, such as anger, worldliness, you know, as parents losing our kids' hearts, losing our ministries. You know, any sin can be forgiven by confession, but sin has consequences. Okay, the next one, the sinning believer loses irreplaceable opportunities for service. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 to 17. Okay. I'll read, you follow along. Therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See, and then look to it, that ye walk circumspectly, meaning walk properly, walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The sinning Christian can be forgiven, but he cannot regain lost opportunities. He cannot regain lost opportunities. I want to share a testimony of a Christian teacher that I know. She was my advisor when I was in junior college. And she's a Christian, and she once was a principal of Presbyterian High School. She was a principal of Presbyterian High School. And her talk when I was actually with her was this. She said that there was one year she walked away from the Lord as a young believer. That was in her teens, okay? She walked away from the Lord for the whole year. And it's interesting what she said, okay? She's not a Baptist, but she said this, you know, for the whole year, I've wasted so much. She said this, and I still remember very clearly. She said this, I wasted so much opportunity. Think of the number of verses I could have memorized in the whole year. It's like, she's not a Baptist. Think of the number of opportunities I've lost over the whole year just because I walked away from God. And she's a fervent Christian, and when we wanted to rent out PHS many years ago for vacation Bible school, she asked her operation manager, come, whatever he need, you give it to him. So we had one of our biggest VBSs. We had 150 children alone for the VBS. Okay, and we had 6 classes. And we have over 20 over workers at that time. And the whole place was open to us. Because this principal believed that serving God was most important. All right, and she did very well in the career too. God can bless her. But the thing that really touched me about what she said was, think of the number of verses I could have memorized this whole year. You know, we need to treat our Christian life as serious, okay? A sinning believer loses irreplaceable opportunities for service and fruit. For our Filipino brethren, I actually want to meet you all. I shared before again and again. You know, there is actually over 100 Filipino families for us to reach. A Heritage Learning Center. You know, Mrs. Lau and Rachaiju has shared. Pastor, just come, you know. And I was thinking, how in the world am I going to reach these 100 over Filipino families? We've got Filipino brethren in our church. How do we, I don't put pressure on you guys, but I want you all to pray with me and think with me. How do we have a ministry? Because for Sister Susan, who has a learning center, a lot, because of the situation in Singapore, a lot of the Filipino brethren who work here and all that are sending their children to her learning center. And all of those that go there are not saved. They're not saved. They're Catholics. You know, after Brother Edward will teach, they will do this. Closing in prayer. They're not saved. But they think they are saved because they're hearing God's word, right? But how do we reach them? And that's but you know what? Unless we have a burden and we're serving the Lord, we will not see it as important. We will not see it as important. Let's pray. Lord, if I go there, I don't want to be someone, because she's asked me to teach in the chapel. I think if I teach in the chapel, but where's the fruit? How am I going to preserve? I need to think about preserving the fruit. And it's going to be a weekly thing for the whole lifetime of this. And I don't want to just be giving 1 or 2 hours a week but not having the outcomes. And Lord, I'm just asking, I hope you pray with me. If you have some ideas, just let me know, okay? So, you know, a sinning believer will never see that as important. would ever see, you know, in my mind, those 100 over families, like, if we can save those families, we have 500 people. You think about that. If every single one of the families are saved, 500 people for the Lord. It's an open opportunity. Okay? So, but if we're sinning against God, we're not saying that's important. Okay? Many believers have lost a lot of opportunities. I just read this is important. Many believers have lost irreplaceable opportunities by making important decisions when they're backslidden. Now, God says, such marrying the wrong person, taking the wrong job. We know we cannot go back and start all over. We must live very cautiously. So I was telling my children as they make decisions, every step that you make, every decision you make sure you get counsel. Because Satan wants to derail you. Once he can derail you, you may not come back. The Korean Airlines in 1981, I believe, there was this from Philadelphia. They were flying back to Korea. The pilot only made 1 degree mistake. 1 degree. He flew into Russian airspace, and the Russian fighter pilots went out and shot down. They killed all the people in the Korean jet. And they found out that the pilot just made 1 degree mistake. 1 degree. Flying from Philadelphia. Can you imagine 1 degree? Just small, right? But you know what? If it's this straight course to Korea, the 1 degree starts to go further and further away. Does that make sense? And it was shot down by the Russian pilot, the Russian fighter jet, because it's entered into Russian airspace. We can Google it. One mistake. 1 second can lose you the gold medal in the Olympic Games. Right? One day you lose your redemption. If your coupon said expired by this day, 1 day late, you lose. 1 point in your PSL year. Can make all the difference, right, Jonathan? 1 point can make all the difference. Just one mistake. Not for Christians, Satan just want to do this. Just make one wrong mistake. Just make one wrong decision. That's all Satan needs. And Satan is very smart. He aims for the most important one. And once he gets you there, he makes you go so far away you can't come back. Because of pride. There's always a way back, but we have to humble ourselves. Okay? Last point. Okay, there's actually one more point. The saints below will suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15. The sinning believer will suffer loss at the judgment seat. All of us who are genuinely saved by Christ will one day face the judgment seat of Christ. Not because God doesn't love us, but because he wants to give us rewards. Okay? Like for example, if you're enrolled in a school, okay, if you've done very well for your A-levels or your O-levels or whatever levels you take, you know, you have rewards. Okay? Those who don't make it, unfortunately, you won't get maybe top 3, they will be recognized, you know, go up stage, take all your, right? Or go up the stage and take your cert and all that kind of thing, all right? But you know what? All of us can actually go up stage for Christ. Because every one of us take our individual exams before the Lord. And how much reward we get is how much commitment we have given to Christ because we love him, okay? In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 and 15. Let me just read, okay? There's one very important verse I want you to look at. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You have to build your house on your life on Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, the first category, wood, hay, stubble, the second category, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work with what sort it is. So on the judgment day of the judgment seat of Christ, all of us will have our works and will be presented to God. There are two categories of materials that we use: wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. Okay? What happens when gold goes through the fire? What happens? Joseph, what happens when gold goes through the fire? It gets purer. Right? When precious stones, silver, and gold goes through the fire, it actually gets purified because it burns off the impurities, right? And so coming out the other side, your gold will get better. But what happens if we actually put through wood, hay, and stubble? Everything gets burnt. Think about this. All of us, before Christ, on the judgment seat, our works will be presented to Christ, okay? And God is going to judge that. The word judge, don't be frightened by that. The word judge can be replaced with examined. Say, is this good You know, when you go and buy a watch, if you buy a watch from Lazada, $30, versus you go to the shop, $300, which one do you think is the real one? It's the value, okay? So examine. So Christ wants to examine the value of our works. Okay? So if we put in our heart and sweat and effort into the work, and with all our heart we love Christ, the world will come as gold, because God sees our hearts. But if we, I think the students will know, if you study for your exams half-heartedly, how will your results be? You get half-hearted results. If you study full-heartedly, you will get full-hearted results. Okay? But you know, the verse says very, in verse 14, if any man works a bike which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. In other words, if the gold, silver, and precious stone goes through the fire, it remains, you will receive a reward. But look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. You know, some Christians will hate this verse because it cannot be. If he doesn't live for God, how can he? God does say that if his work is lost, he will be saved. But you know what, in the context, this Christian is still serving God in some way because his works are presented. The worst could be his life. Okay, he may not be living for God. No, there's two. In this situation, the main point Paul was driving at is if you build your life on your own ambitions as a genuine believer, you know what? God's not going to bring his promise. When he say he'll save you, he'll save you. When you repent of your sin before Christ, but you know, after you have been saved, but you continue in a life or you make a wrong decision and you try, you don't want to come back, God will still save you. I don't know about you, the shame that you will feel before Christ, the one who gave everything to save you, that will be, hopefully, I hope it will not be, I don't know what the situation will be for many believers. The Bible just said that he shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, just in the nick of time. The idea of you're snatched out of the fire. In other words, you deserve to go to hell. But because of your faith in Christ, snatch you up. This is one of the clearest promises of eternal security. The sinning Christian who displeases the Lord and whose earthly works are burnt up with himself will himself be saved. His works will burn, but he will not burn. This is a wonderful truth, but for one's earthly life to be wasted on something other than God's will, for Jesus to be sorely disappointed in me, to have no rewards for his glory, not to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," will be a very tragic loss. Can you imagine the Savior of this universe came to die for us and we have nothing to offer him? Nothing. We just live our own life. It cannot be. This cannot be. This cannot be. All right, any questions? Next week is our quiz on eternal security of a believer. Okay, please don't plan not to come because it's a quiz. Okay, don't worry. It's very straightforward. The goal is for you to remember. All right, if you took notes on the introduction or the majority of the questions are there. Okay. Next week, we look at position and practice. It means, who am I as a Christian? What does the Bible say? And how do we see our practice? Okay. This has been always an issue with Christians. I know the Bible says this, but how do we face that? Okay. Any questions? Any questions on internal security? I just said it before we finish. I think it's important. There's in some churches this thing about judging people's salvation. Okay. I was looking through the scriptures and I was talking to my children. Just thinking through, I believe this. The Apostle Paul, okay, just judging other people's salvation. The Apostle Paul, throughout the entire New Testament, did not judge anyone's salvation. Number one. Number two, Paul, in fact, encourages a Christian, even the Corinthian church, they call them saints in Christ. Although their lives were totally lousy because they say they are saved. In fact, he was the one who lead that church. He was the one who planted that church. Okay? And so, but the furthest that we can go as a Christian with regards to looking at a person's salvation, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And I believe this is scriptural. What if a person have no fruit of salvation? What if a person, he was saved at this point, then after that he move away from Christ and he doesn't come to church and doesn't want to have anything to do with God or doesn't want to serve God. Yeah, he comes to church, he gives his offerings, but he doesn't do anything for God. have his own ideas how church should be. 2 Corinthians 13:5, and I believe this as the pastor of Ambassador, and I believe all of us need to have this mindset because it's a Bible mindset. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 3 says, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. Okay, I'll explain that. The Corinthian church was saying, Paul, you are not an apostle. They were challenging his apostleship. And they were saying, Paul, prove to us that you're an apostle. Then Paul just says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you is not weak, but is mighty to you, meaning that you see the results in your own congregation. Now you are saved. You were homosexuals last time. Now you're not. You have lived in sin. Now you're not. You're living for Christ. So Paul says, you see that in verse 4. For though Christ was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Now Paul says, examine yourself, ready in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ be in you, except ye be reprobates. If you read all the commentaries on this verse, you'll find that they are saying this. Paul says, the fact that you can challenge my apostleship, you better ask yourself whether you are a Christian or not. Wow. I believe the furthest we can go as a believer looking at a Christian's life, if there is no fruit or the fruit is contrary to the truth of God's word, we have every right from scripture to say, brother, I still call you a brother, but you know, your life is just not right. I'm not going to say you're not saved, but please work with God and examine to see you're in the faith. Because at the end of the day, when I say this to you as a pastor or any brother, concerned brother, you, that for that person who said, hey, actually, this brother is concerned enough to make me angry. I think I need to just stop and take note. So that at the end, when we stand before God, there will be no need to be unsure. Does that make sense? We're not judges of people's salvation. But you know what? Paul does say, examine yourself. So for us, if we are concerned enough, firstly, we need to pray for that person. Secondly, we need to lovingly tell that person, look, I'm not too sure. You know, I'm praying for you. I know you've served God before. I know you have a heart, but your life seems to not be in the direction God wants you to be. I'll prayerfully ask you to examine yourself, see if you are in the faith. Okay? Do it tactfully, do it lovingly. Cannot change that person, only God can. But we have to do our responsibility as a Christian to tell that person. You may lose a friend, but you know, I'd rather lose a friend, see him in heaven. I'd rather lose that friend, but see him in heaven next time. They do not tell him at all, and he goes to hell. That no one bothered enough to tell him. Okay? Understand, if you love someone enough, you will rebuke him. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you will not rebuke that friend for his sin, it shows you care more for yourself than for that friend. Does that make sense? I hope you understand that, because when you rebuke someone, it means that the person may hate you forever. But if you know that the person is wrong based on God's word, then ask God for grace and tell that person, and if you perish, you perish. Your friendship is gone, his friendship is gone. Okay, so this is salvation is the most important thing in anyone's life. You cannot trifle with it. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Right, let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand this eternal security lesson. And that, Father, in ourselves, we will be sure of our salvation. Dear God, we truly, when we share the gospel with someone, we'll be so careful to present repentance that you need to turn away from their sin. Father, they need to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Let's service to follow, pray in Jesus' name. Amen.